is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. So, Wendy, how do you help salespeople stand out when they're making cold calls so that they can win over the internet battle?
Well, they need to have something compelling to say. I mean, it really does start with targeting. You know, when I work with people, I will say to them, first thing, describe an ideal prospect. What are the parameters that make up an ideal prospect for you? And most of them can't do it. So we need some very concrete parameters about who we're targeting, because the answer is not everybody. And even if you're that insurance agent, if you're selling commercial insurance, then you're going after businesses, not consumers. It's, you know, it's that basic. So what's the target? That's always where it starts. And then we have to look at what are the challenges that these kind of prospects have that you can help them with, and how do they talk about it? Not how do you talk about it, but how do they talk about it?
You also have to know, how does it differ from what I can buy online right now? Mm-hmm. That is a new parameter that didn't exist 15 years ago.
Well, if you're talking to them about a challenge, first we got to get their attention. So you've got to talk to them about a challenge that they have that's going to resonate with them. And so most people like to talk about what they do. And nobody cares what you do. They care how they're going to be better off after you finish doing whatever it is you do. So the first thing we have to do is define the problem, because that's what gets their attention. We want them to say, yes, I have that same problem. And I'll give you an example. I work with a lot of people in commercial real estate, and they like to talk about what they do. They find space, and they work with the tenants so that they can find commercial space, and they negotiate with the landlord so the tenant can find commercial space. That's what they like to talk
and
about.
And it's all the same. Every single one
and
of them.
Yeah. Every single one of them. So I was working with a young broker that was in the DC area that worked with a lot of defense contractors. When defense contractors get a new contract, they have to go out and hire a whole bunch of people. And so I kept pushing him and pushing him, and I finally said to him, okay, so you've got a defense contractor. They got the new contract. They're really happy. They pop the champagne. After they finish partying and celebrating, what's the next thing they say to themselves? And he said, holy crap, where are we going to put all these people? Holy crap, where are we going to put all these people? We have just defined the problem. So now we can talk about that in an intelligent manner. And so that's where it starts, is what's the target? And then we have to define what the problem is.
So if I were going to call one of those people and qualify them, I would simply ask the question, have you got to the holy crap part yet?
Well, you could do it that way.
Because the guy would say, what do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The guy would say, what do you mean by that? I would say, it's a chair problem. What do you mean chair? Well, they're all going to need chairs. And we provide space so that you can put the chair. And we design it and. But the bottom line is, have you got to the holy crap part yet? Is an engaging question that they are compelled to answer because no one's ever asked them that before.
That's probably true. That's not what I advised him to do, but that's probably true.
What do you advise them to do?
His value proposition became about helping defense contractors that got new contracts gear up quickly. And he actually had a very compelling story to tell, which was about a tenant in a defense contractor that was a client of theirs. They got the contract. They actually found them space in the same building in 3 months, which is very fast in the commercial real estate world. And so he was able to tell this story quickly. We edited it down. And so he had a very compelling story to tell about his expertise in their world solving their problem. He started getting a lot of appointments. And the thing that I always find to be so interesting, and that each of my clients or each salesperson out there in the world, they have unique stories to tell because they're the only ones that have those clients or those customers. And so that's a differentiator when you're able to talk about how you've been able to help someone to someone that has the same problem and speak in their own language.
Please help me welcome Gene.
Yes, that's usually how when I first talk to them is that the expectation is very high and I need to talk them off the ledge because it's not realistic. And there are many companies out there who make it seem like it's extremely easy. And, you know, tomorrow you can be a millionaire. That's not really realistic in any business. It doesn't matter what kind of business it is. Unless you have even if you have a very big budget, I think it would still not be realistic. So a lot of times I need to set expectations on what that looks like when we work together, because it's not going to, there's going to be things that we need to put in place. There's going to be foundational things that we need to put in place before we even get into the digital marketing. So it takes definitely some time.
And we've done digital marketing with firms before. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. Who do you blame when that doesn't happen?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I don't think there's anybody to blame. I think there's...
Well, who takes responsibility for the fact that it didn't go that well?
It's usually the other person who thinks that it's the other person's fault. So if it's the business owner, they think it's the marketing agency or the marketing person. If it's the marketing agency, then they think it's the advertiser who didn't give them enough information. So yeah, it's always...
One of these, right?
That's it, yes. I would probably say... I think typically what I found in my experience, why things like from just my, my empirical thoughts based on what I've seen, why things don't work is expectations is one. So usually the business owner expects a certain thing and it's not happening right away. And so they blame the agency or there's just not enough information and communication going on in order for things to actually happen and for things to move forward. And there's a lot of moving pieces when it comes to this. So if everybody's not on top of it, and both the business owner and the marketing agency expert or whatever, then things kind of can fall through the cracks. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
or their product
sense.
Just sucked.
True. That's also another one. Products might not be beneficial to the market or just might be very competitive space. That's another one.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you wrote this book, Win New Customers, How to Attract, Connect, and Convert More Prospects into Customers in 60 Days Using Digital Marketing. Tell us some of the strategies. Don't give the whole book away. Obviously, our diehards are going to go buy it. But give us some strategies that you talk about in the book to make all that happen in 60 days.
Sure. And I mean, I can go through the whole book, although it might take a little bit of time. So I'll condense it into maybe
a Reader's Digest version. Yeah. For those of us that are
Cliff
over
Notes
40.
Version. I don't know. Does Cliff Notes still exist?
I think so.
Hell yeah. If it wasn't for Cliff Notes, I couldn't have flunked out of college.
Well, back then, but I'm saying now, I feel like there's so many new platforms that are kind of similar.
I got to remember that.
To Cliff Notes. So the digest version is a lot of the things that we talked about already are in the book. So I go through creating a content strategy. So what does that look like? Why do you need a content strategy? I go through a product strategy. So ascending your users from or maybe bringing them down the funnel. So the top of the funnel to the middle to the bottom, because a lot of times what I see when I engage with clients is, you know, they might have a product, let's say it's a $2,000 coaching program or something like that. Well, it's going to be a hard sell right off the bat. You know, it takes a little bit of time to for the user to know, trust, and like you before they would buy it.
Right, I need a 60-minute keynote address before I'm going to buy your $2,000.
Exactly. So we go through what does that look like in terms of product strategy. So small bits and pieces to get to that $2,000 product. Maybe, you know, maybe it's some content. Maybe it's a lead magnet. Maybe it's a trip, you know, a $7 product or a $10 product before we get to the $2,000 product. So a lot of times business owners can't wrap their head around it, and they just want to sell the $2,000 product right away, and it just doesn't work.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Motivational Monday.
So, funny.
What are you visualizing today that you think can happen by the end of the day? Let's take a short-term visualization, something you can actually get into your head and see yourself achieving. Is it making 5 appointments? Can you visualize an appointment? Can you visualize someone saying yes to you? Can you visualize having a barrier, but you overcoming the barrier? Can you visualize your boss actually being nice to you and not sticking a foot up your ass about how you're not making enough sales? Think about the things that you want to have happen, because what will happen as a result of that is you will begin to generate ideas. Visualization leads to ideas. If you don't visualize it, your mind is stymied and blocked. You want to say something, Jen?
Yeah. So when I started this process of visualization every morning as a routine, one of the things I realized was I can't just keep picturing things in my mind. I want to be really organized about this and really and intentional about what I'm visualizing. Like, yeah, of course, I always want to picture myself winning the sale, or I want to picture myself loving my boss if I had one, or those kinds of things, right? But I also want to picture what I want a year from now, what I want 5 years from now, and what I want 10 years from now, and how I'm going to get there along the way, and what are my small milestone achievements to get me there. And so what I did was I took your daughter, Gabrielle, who's 9, with me to Michael's, and we bought these poster boards. And then I told her she had an unlimited budget, which I think she really liked. And
an unlimited budget? An unlimited budget?
Just for that one night.
Okay.
And and we went around Michael's and picked out like all these things. And so a lot of times people will say, like, I don't have time to make a visualization board. I don't have time to do these kinds of things.
No, it was
because
fun.
I have kids or whatever. And so rather than make that excuse like that we were too busy or I was too busy, I decided to involve Gabrielle in the process. And the reason I'm talking about this is because if you have a kid, I think that you would really enjoy doing this with them. Gabrielle has since told me that it was one of her favorite of all times.
Yeah.
Doing this.
She gets to express her thinking. Now,
yeah.
We're going to hang on for 1 second. We did this a couple of months ago. We're going to go back and revisit that board and ask her to add things that she forgot to add, or the new things that she's thinking about, so that it becomes a collage of reality of today. Because when you're 8, you think of a hell of a lot of different things than when you're 9. And when you're 41, you think of a hell of a lot of different things when you're 42, because life happens in the middle.
And so we both look at our visualization boards in the morning. And what I notice is, like, she can be in any mood when she wakes up. You see, she's a kid, whatever. But after she looks at that board for like a minute, she is legit in a really good mood and really happy. I don't know what she thinks about when she's looking at the board. I'm assuming she's thinking about the things on there and how she's going to achieve them.
Right.
But she is in a great mood after that. And it's amazing that it's not only something to help you picture your goals, but that it's attitude changing.
Keep in mind that the visualization of that board is not just about your future, but it's visualization of your positive past. And so it reminds you of things that made you happy at that moment in time. And that visualization will help stabilize your feelings of your emotional feelings in the morning. I want you to start out with a great feeling in your soul that you are able to make it happen. And by looking at what you've achieved up to this point in time, it will help you. I created the post-it note goal process decades ago, where I told people to put what you want on your bathroom mirror, and when you achieve it, put it on your bedroom mirror so in the morning you can see your success. Now, I have a split bathroom mirror, so I have on the left-hand side, I have what I'm going to do. On the right-hand side, I have what I did, because in our bedroom, there's no – well, there's a mirror, but no one looks at it. And I find myself in the morning just staring at those for just a couple of minutes to make sure I'm on the right track. It is a reminder that's very positive and exceptionally visual. You can give yourself verbal reminders to create mental pictures. This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GettoverLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.